I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Knowledge from fatherhood to politics, shouting out comics, just paying homage. What's up, Tiff? Yeah, you know she ready. Chi-Town's on, speaking to the grown and sexy. Yeah. We gon' laugh, cut up and kick it, and at the end, we leaving with just to lift your spirits. Make you wanna revisit, tell your friends, take a listen. Young folks say it's lit, old folks say we dig it. Hey, can't no bitch do what you do. Can't no bitch do what you do. Can't no bitch do what I do.
Welcome to the Laugh and Learn, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, I'm your host, Flame Monroe, along with my beautiful co-host, Lauren Hogan.
I'm here.
She stick your head in the camera.
Put the head, y'all.
Look, put the head in. Welcome to Laugh and Learn, ladies and gentlemen. We're here, and guess who else is here?
Kendall's here.
Hey, Kendall. And guess what, Flame? As y'all are here, so we're going to run a real short show today because we've been getting your messages that the shorter, the better. Y'all
yes,
pay more attention. So
we're going
to run it real quick today. We got only a few topics, some heavy, some not so heavy. But thank you guys for joining us here. We could not have this show without you. So, and we'll be back in the studio next week. The studio getting the facelift. It's getting real, and it's getting new internet, but you know, just it sound better since getting the facelift.
So before we get started, how was your week, Miss Monroe?
Good week, slow week this week. Just a meeting. We had a meeting this week. Yeah, mm-hmm. We had a meeting.
We did.
The meeting was just, to me, was just meh. But we're moving forward. So we're glad you guys are here. It was a calm week. We got a bunch of stuff coming up. In the news, in the meeting was not a good week, but in my life, it was a calm week. Hi, Chrissy Potts.
Well, that's good.
Chrissy Potts. That's Chrissy Payne, y'all. She wrote, Laugh and Learn with Flame. Hey, he, she, we. How was your week, Lauren?
My week has been very busy.
Did you get your new house?
Tomorrow. I get the keys tomorrow and we close escrow, child. It's been a process. It's been an ordeal. But we're almost there, which is good. Job's been very crazy. Travel's picking back up. I've been home for a week, which is nice because I ain't been home and I look like it. So
Well, we can't tell. We can't see you. Don't she look like Don't she looks like a property owner, y'all?
Oh, thank you.
Don't she looks like a property? This is what it looked like. Tiffany had to say, this is what it looked like.
Child, it's been a process, but we almost there.
Hi, Fontaine. You like my afro? I'm feeling very Angela Davis, Pierre Jackson, Guadalupe Gonzalez, Thomas.
Why all the additional last names? Let me in on the joke.
I want to be inclusion.
Yang,
Jackson, Guadalupe, Gutierrez, Eagle Feather. I want to just make sure I cover all the bases.
Okay. Well,
where are we going, Lauren?
Well, let's get into it because we do have a short show.
Yes.
But I want to start off with something. Well, I don't know if it's lighthearted, but it's, you know, celebrity news. So LeBron James's son, Bronny James, went to prom. And child, the people are in an uproar that he took this little white girl with him. So how do you feel about interracial? Well, I don't know if they're a couple or anything, but, you know, she's white, he's black. The people are in an uproar. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's, he just took a girl to prom. What difference does that? See, I don't see that.
You don't see color.
I do see color, but I don't see, love is no color. And that's not to say that he's in love with this girl.
Right.
Like you said, that might not even be his girlfriend.
Yeah,
it may just be his prom date.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do our track record. It's easier to get some prom cat from one side than it is from the other side.
Wait a minute. Well, the funny thing is, though, because, you know, LeBron, like, his prom picture came out. He actually took a white girl to prom, too, but he ended up marrying Savannah.
And having children. And he's still with his wife.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, but what it's going to do is going to become a house of cards because they're already trying to pass Roe versus Wade. Like you already said, it's just opening up a floodgate of drama. So.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That. To your point, Roe versus Wade is definitely serving as a bit of a gateway to other things like, you know, the trans rights and don't say gay. And then now it'll be interracial marriage and a whole bunch of other things.
Segregation. Yeah. It's all going to come, y'all. Yeah. I'm telling y'all, I got to stand up and fight for it. And Lauren just made a point off camera before we came on because Lauren said that the high school that this young man goes to is
Sierra Canyon,
which is a very exclusive high school for wealthier.
Yeah, it is.
Upper echelon.
Yeah. Celebrity kids, that's where they go to high school.
Yeah, and mostly not us. Mostly them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of white kids that go there. I mean, you know.
I said mostly them.
Yeah, like Dwayne Wade's kids go there. And I don't know some other celebrities. But anyway, it's a celebrity kid high school. That's kind of what it is. So.
Miss Savannah is not worried.
LeBron's wife. She's not. We all know she's crazy and we'll put the paws on somebody. So she don't play. And we love her too. So.
Let me tell y'all something. We make it different. He took a girl to the prom. She just happened to be a white girl. We would have had something to say if she'd have been a trans girl or if she'd have been a fat girl or you know what I mean? Get y'all some business.
Can I tell you the funniest part though? Was his little sister's face. I know you didn't see it. I'm going to show it to you afterwards. His little sister's face is hilarious. It was given like, get out. What the hell's going on? It was hilarious.
He took a white girl to prom. And they had a good time, I'm sure.
Well, how do you feel overall, though? Just I know you said like it doesn't really affect you, but do you think the fact that like now interracial marriage and like relationships is becoming a topic of conversation now? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? And you know how things can potentially be affected for people who just want to be in love.
Well, I purposely they've always had an issue with interracial marriage and interracial dating. It was kind of like downplayed for a while, but now that the racism has fucking escalated and blown up in our faces, they're looking at every little thing that can poke the bear to make it bigger. So they're going to make this an issue. Yeah. They're going to make gay marriage an issue. They're going to make legalized everything an issue because what they're trying to do is separate us again.
Yeah.
Then we can get back to Jim Crow and get back to segregation on their watch. They'd be happy as shit.
But I mean, yeah, that's what's happening with, you know, Roe versus Wade at this point. They're saying, oh, you can decide it state by state. That's the same thing that happened with segregation.
Yeah.
It was a state, or in Jim Crow too, it was a state by state issue. So, and speaking of women too, since we're on the topic of women, can we talk about these, the shortage of baby formula, but how all of these white men still want us to keep our babies and have children, but how are women supposed to feed them?
I'm just going to say this, Lauren. I'm glad I didn't get pregnant during the pandemic. Thank you, Plan B, 5511.
Oh, Lord
Thank
Jesus.
Thank you, Plan B, because I'm telling you, that is... How did we get here to have a formula shortage in the richest, and supposedly the richest country in the world? You tell me, Lauren.
Child, I don't even know. I mean, the thing overall, like, you know, gas prices are high, because that's another thing. To buy a plane ticket now is ridiculous. I had to buy a plane ticket for work the other day, and to go to DC cost $1,500. Regular, just main cabin, nothing. I mean, I get free upgrades, but still, like.
And that's not first class.
No, just main cabin, regular, to go from LA to DC, $1,500. So overall, I just feel like, I don't even know, the fact that we're in such turmoil and like tumultuous times with just the price of living and the cost of everything. It's crazy. And to now see that we have a shortage for baby formula, but y'all want us to keep having kids and we don't have the right to choose anymore. And we have to, at this point, you know, possibly have kids, but not be able to provide nourishment to them, is baffling to me.
Yeah. I don't even know what I would do. And then I saw online where some people have harvested just tons and tons of baby food, and they sell it at astronomical prices.
Oh, yeah.
Like price gouging, like you wouldn't believe. That was the same
thing with masks. Woo. People did the same thing with masks.
They hoard it and get baby formula, and now they go online and they sell it $300 a can.
Yeah. I saw one woman, it said that she had to drive like 50 miles outside of her town just to try and see if she could find some, and I think she ended up finding like one can in a store, and she's got three kids.
All on baby formula?
Yeah. And I just want to make a comment too, where people are like, oh, you should just breastfeed your kids. Just FYI, for your information, all women are not able to breastfeed because they may not produce milk. You know, the baby may not latch on. So don't say ignorant things like, oh, you can just breastfeed your kids, because all women can't do that. So...
Look, Lauren, when Zeddy was a baby, and I used to carry her around in my arms, I think she tried to breastfeed one time. She grabbed one of my boobs, you know, and she realized.
I did that to my dad too.
She realized, oh, that ain't no milk in that titty. If you don't knock it off.
That was your fault. You falsely advertised for the poor baby. So.
She grabbed it. I'm like, girl, ain't no milk in there. Silla milk, but it ain't no regular. It was Similac.
Silla milk.
Like silicone milk. Silicone milk. Ain't no Similac. It was Silla milk. Shit.
Oh, my goodness.
That is very scary. And to people who have babies out there, because they were saying, because I seen two reports that they changed the kid's formula because they ran out of one, and they tried something new, and the baby got really, really sick to where they had to take it to the emergency room, because you can't switch it up on a baby system like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. You're ruining the baby system. Very, very gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bobby Clifford, I'm going to go. Oh, I can't even grab you.
I'm not right there. Can you do it like that?
Oh, that's what I just tried to do. Bobby Clifford, send us a request. We'll bring you in. We're going to start talking to some of the Flamettes. Like I said, we're going to have a quick short show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hit the thing. Yeah. Hit the thing, Lori Hoagie. Flamettes, let me tell you. Oh, ooh. Shit. See, you always talking about me and my hands.
I don't know how this thing works. Oh, my God. How do you go back?
The blood of Jesus, y'all. It ain't me. That's Lauren, y'all.
Child.
That ain't me.
I don't know how to work an Android. I didn't told her.
That is not me. That is Lauren. It is. I wouldn't want to have a baby right now because it's too scary. Mm-mm.
Bobby Clifford, send us a request so we can grab you real quick.
Somebody saying pet milk is heavy, and the baby does not have to be adjusted to it. I know you can dilute it, but child, the baby still got to get adjusted to it.
Yeah, grab Pam.
And then we just got a shipment of milk from overseas. But here's my question about that. So y'all willing to accept pet milk from, did it come from China?
Child, I don't even know.
So now they got to test all this milk before they can get it out. But they ain't these the same places that y'all saying was pushing out coronavirus? And now we got monkeypox and, we get out of one pandemic to go to another one.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Laugh and Learn.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, girls. How are you?
Good. How are you?
That's good. I was just saying that I think it's so stupid. I've heard that comment before about just breastfeed.
Yes.
If you didn't breastfeed or you stopped breastfeeding, you can't go back to it. So what are you supposed to do then?
When you stop breastfeeding, does your body start producing milk?
Yes. It dries up. Mm-hmm. It takes about 3 days. It's painful. It's sore. I didn't breastfeed, so I went through it up front. It's sore, but once it's gone, it's gone. You know, there's no tapping into it.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll say this.
It's an ignorant comment to say that to people. Well, now that you don't have it, go and breastfeed. Like, with what?
Yeah. And like I said, every woman can't breastfeed. You know, the baby may not latch on, or she may not produce enough milk, and then the baby's not getting enough nutrients.
Not for you.
Yeah.
It just wasn't for me. I knew that I thought it was icky for me, and I thought I would tense up for the baby, and I'm like, that's no good either. So I was younger and I just bottle fed from the beginning. So if this was me and my baby was 6 months old, I'd be screwed.
Exactly. And then you have people making insensitive comments about you're being dramatic, just breastfeed. That's honestly what pissed me off the most. But
it's stupid. It's an ignorant thing. It's because it's not them that's going through the crisis at the time.
Exactly.
It's not that important to them.
Well, same thing with, you know, a lot of these Republican lawmakers, you know, basically trying to ban abortion. It's interesting how they care about the fetus, but once the baby's out, it's like, oh, you're on your own. So how am I supposed to make sure that this kid grows up properly, is tended to, is well taken care of, is healthy? Y'all don't care about that. Because my thing is, if you want me to have this baby so badly, then pay for it so I can take care of it.
Well, I'm with you. I use the expression I'm pro-life because I'm pro all life, not just when it's in the womb. I want everything beyond that to be taken care of. And people don't. I've had a special needs sister back in the 70s when it wasn't popular to have your kids out and about. So I can tell you the circumstances for a lot of these poor kids were miserable. And these people were Bible thumping. You know, they went on to have 10 more kids, but they dumped their other kid in a home and forgot all about them. That's not pro-life.
Yeah, and when you say pro-life, Bob, because I said that last week, I'm pro-life, but I'm pro-choice. When I say pro-life, I believe in life. But I mean, it's the same. To me, it's like the double thing, but I'm pro-choice. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your body. That is your body.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
For me, I was pro-life. So I had my son, you know, young, single, because for me, I was pro-life. But for everybody else, I'm pro-choice. It's whatever you believe. So in Catholicism, we're taught that life begins at conception. Not all religions feel that way. Some religions feel it starts at the first breath. So I can't put my feelings on somebody else. So only for me, I can say that. For everybody else, you've got to do what's best for you.
When we've been talking about the whole Roe versus Wade and abortion laws, so many, the reason I think that, because Lauren made me, and so many of you flame women made me know that, is that white women are having abortions.
Yep.
Because they want to procreate, they want more white, they want to keep the white race more, so they want to have more and more white babies. But I think a lot of white women, not you, Bobby, but I think a lot of these white women have realized that a lot of the kids that they are having are turning out to be a little, cause a lot, I say it as a joke, but I mean it, because you have no control over, like, I'm not giving the cowardice murderer in Buffalo a pass, but his parents came on to say that we didn't know, and that he was depressed because of the pandemic. Well, shit, we all depressed because of the pandemic. We all had a heart up. That is an excuse and a cop out. But I do believe that a lot of women, white women, to say that they don't want to have more children because they don't know who their child is going to grow up and become. I don't think that it becomes more of an embarrassment than it is a shame. I don't want I'm transgender. I'm want to speak. I'm a transgender the father of three kids. My kids probably would have been expected to grow up and be kind of fucked up, but they not, because I'm trying to raise them normal, because it was important
you're grounded. So, and these families, I mean, sometimes you remember this expression, Flame, this is an old-timey expression, so maybe Lauren might not know as much, but people would say, oh, that kid's a bad seed.
Lauren, no, Lauren, her mama taught her all the old people shit.
You can have really good parents, and sometimes there is a kid who's got something off.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take away, this kid could be mentally ill, but that doesn't mean he's not a racist, and they're two separate things, unless you believe that racism is a form of mental illness too. And, you know,
which is not,
that can be as well. I don't know. I'm not a professional.
Well, if that coward last week was mentally ill and a racist, he's definitely racist. But when he got to the white man and he said, I'm sorry, in the midst of killing black folks, and went on to continue killing black folks, whatever we thought that you was going to try to pull as a plea, you threw that right out the window. As they said, don't throw out the baby with the bath water. Nigga, you throw out the baby, the bathtub, the water, and the soap. Shit.
It's the hate, though. That's what I'm speaking to. When I think of him as mentally, you can't be that hateful. So that instance where he saw the white person and apologized, that even drove it home even more to me.
Yeah.
That's how hateful. And so there's something got to be off, but it doesn't make a difference. You control it. Take a pill. Get some help. You don't go in and you don't kill a bunch of people. You know, if we have depression and bipolar, and we make those people take a medication, people, you know, who have other issues.
Well, shit, we all depressed. We ain't going around shooting people. We ain't driving 4 hours to somebody else's neighborhood. And not even that, not on that day, because he went to the store to scope out the place and talk to black people.
Yeah.
And talk. You don't hate black people and then go and kill them and you talk to them. That all of that shit right there. Damn, wouldn't want me to be a prosecutor. I'd be the worst prosecutor in court.
Well, yeah, because if we officially wanted to shift to the Buffalo shooting, I also blame Tops, like, in general, like the management, because apparently some of the store clerks reported that this man kept coming in there and saying the N-word and making racist threats, and the management didn't do anything.
I wasn't aware of that. I don't know why they wouldn't have called the police. I would have just to have his ass called out. Nobody should be shopping and have to listen to that. It's bad enough shopping. I hate grocery shopping.
Yeah.
I don't need to be sitting and insulted.
Exactly. So he was coming for several weeks and scoping out the place and actually engaging with, you know, the black people that were working in the store and making racial slurs and, like, being verbally abusive. And some of the employees reported it and Tops didn't do anything about it.
But if we're going to go after Tops, then we got to go after the FBI, too. They knew a year before when he put threats out to the school. He wrote manifestos. He had shit on his Instagram page.
Well, I definitely blame the FBI for a lot of things.
Yeah, y'all knew he was a damn walking nutcase. Back again to when I said, y'all know Lil Billy is crazy, but y'all helped Lil Billy get a job as a police officer and give him a badge and put him in the wrong neighborhood. Well, his parents had to know that something was off balance with him. I'm not giving the parents a pass.
Absolutely. And why you as a parent know that if one of your kids, something was off a little with one of your kids, and if it's a 4-hour drive down and a 4-hour drive back, wouldn't you say, where the hell's my kid for 10 hours a day?
You would think.
I mean, I would have. If I had a kid, I've had a kid that's had, depression and suffered from it, and I watch every movie makes. I can't imagine him disappearing for 10 hours a day at 18 years old, not knowing where he was. I know he's a grown-up, but I'd be like, I don't know.
Here's the scariest part of it. He's the oldest of four kids, and he's 18, and he hate black people that much in that home. What the mother three doing? What the mother three kids doing?
Because see, I don't know what the parents.
Let's hope they get help
now. Yeah, and I don't know what the parents.
People are made aware of the family, right? So.
Yeah, and I don't know what the parents' involvement is in terms of teaching the racism within that household. Apparently, he's, you know, been listening to Tucker Carlson and, you know, researching replacement theory and all of these different things. So I don't know the parents' contribution, I would say, to, you know, his idea of racism. But that is scary, though, to think that you've got three other kids in the house and your oldest has become a, you know, a mass, you know, murderer. So.
He's a, yeah, absolutely a mass murderer. But you also have to think, I mean, strangely enough, so my family is obviously Democratic. Do you know my little biatch sister, Teresa, is a Republican? And she absolutely is a staunch Republican, the bitch.
But wait a minute, though, Bobby, wait a minute. Because there are some good Republicans. There's some bad Trumplicans. Well, there's some bad Trumplicans.
You know, like, I'm like, Terry, the first person they cut is you, your services. So you would think she is, but she's like, no, those are those people. My only point of saying that story is you can have people in a family and a kid can pick up on not necessarily the parents' ideology.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. That was it. We were shocked. I took her to go vote once. I think I told you the story. And I'm like, Teresa, I will take you to the Outback and we will get a burger if you vote for Gore. So she goes in, she puts her vote in, and I went, yes, we're leaving. And she's putting it in the slide thing, and she says, she made me vote for the small shrub.
Bush.
Son of a bitch. The cop comes over, and he says, what, the small shrub? They didn't know Terry speak, that meant Bush. And I'm dragging her ass out of there. I'm like, you're getting McDonald's now. You're not What's true?
Bo, you are hilarious. Oh, my God. Oh, she but went there.
I mean, she likes the platform of the Republicans. She does. So you can, these parents might not necessarily, they might not have been horrible. That's all I'm saying. They might have been horrible. I don't know.
Well, he ain't learned no N-word from watching Good Times and the Jeffersons. He was sitting at that dinner table.
No. He reminds me of, remember now that we've got the internet and everybody's out, right? Everybody's got a lot to say. When Flame and I were coming up, these were the people that hung in the basement that didn't fit in with anybody, and they were researching. And I have a feeling that he, like a Tucker Carlson, he latched on to something, and just his hatred grew like a fungus.
He felt like he belonged to something. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's the misfits, Lauren, right?
Yeah.
Was it a hatred more than an emptiness? Because a hatred, hate is a very strong emotion.
Handle, right?
Yeah, but I'm like Lauren. He needed something. He needed to feel like he belonged to something.
Yeah.
And they said that he was initiated on the internet by 18 people that he never even saw their faces. This is showing you that this was a lost human being that needed something to validate, to make me feel like I'm a whole person. I'm sorry that it went down this way, especially for the families that died. But I hate that he got away without incident. And I mean, I'm saying that, and I mean that completely.
Well, I just think it's...
I don't know how. He reminds me of the correction officer, right? Just somebody looking to grab onto something so that they belonged. She grabbed onto a criminal, and he grabbed onto... It's like a cult, right?
She didn't grab onto that criminal. She grabbed onto something, but it wasn't a criminal. Yeah. It was criminal what he had, because he put it on her.
I just find it so baffling that
look for belonging. You know,
I just think it's baffling that he got arrested with no incident.
Yeah, with no incident.
No incident.
Not a scratch on him.
No.
They gave him time to take off his tactical gear and everything.
I think that's the part that's most baffling to me.
Had that been one of us, we'd have been dead.
I think there's a method to that madness, though, guys. I think that they didn't want anything to go down that was wrong. They didn't want it to be perceived as he was being abused. They also wanted to see, as he took each layer, what was underneath. You know, potentially. And remember, everybody's got cameras now. They didn't want to go on, you know, being shown that he was being abused in any way. He should have been.
That's a crock for me, because I think two days prior, you know, there was an incident in Oklahoma where a black man was shot by cops and he had his hands up. So I don't really.
But each place is somewhere a little different. I'm just saying, I'm wondering, because Buffalo's a big city. Right?
You know what's so scary, Bobby? If I was in the store, so just say, I'm just giving you guys a for instance. So if I was in the store or some other black person was in the store And they had a weapon on them, and this went down, and they got to a place where they could see him, and they shot him. They shot him in his head because he had on body armor. They shot him in his head a couple of times, and even if he didn't die. If the black person came out with a gun, who would have been the hero, and that's all they saw and they wasn't aware, yeah, they would have shot that black man with that gun, and he saved lives. They would have shot
had
him.
Their hands, absolutely, they would have had to
have even with his hands up, they would have shot him.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have been able to. I would say even so, this kind of teaches us, not that I have a gun or a weapon, your head, but it's a tiny target. I'd shoot for the legs, the ankles below, at least get him on his ass. You know, the only place he didn't have the armor, right? He had the pants down to the knees. So, I don't know.
The neck up is, the neck up is a great target if you ever go to the gun range.
Yeah, but that's tiny. It's I don't know how
the neck up is a great target if you ever go to the gun range. Shit.
Does everybody hear it?
I hope y'all did, because I see the neck up. Shit.
Well, Miss Bobby Clifford, thank you as always for joining us. We love you dearly.
Thank you, Bobby. Next Monday is Memorial Day, so we may not be on live next Monday because Lauren gonna be out of town and I'm gonna be pregnant and Kendall getting married and just a whole lot going on. Shit, look at me just predicting shit,
making up stuff.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right, bye.
Flames, I'll tell you, it was a short show, but it is so imperative that before we leave this show, we must tell you guys that they have implemented so many voting restrictions in so many different states.
And there's so many laws now that are legislation and being signed to committees.
And we keep telling you guys, please don't fall for the okey-doke. Lauren taught me a very valuable lesson that she has taught to you all, as well as everybody within her listening ear. If it was not so important, if our vote was not so important, they wouldn't be doing everything they can to make our votes go away and not count. Don't listen to nobody telling you not to vote. You need some inspiration. Damn it, watch Selma. Watch the movie Selma.
There's quite a few movies that you can watch.
Yeah,
you
but
need some
definitely
inspiration.
Watch Selma. But to see that you need this is your responsibility to your ancestors, to your future, and to your present right now, because if you're not paying attention to what is happening right in our faces, the Republicans are playing hardball, and this is only 2022. In 2024, if we don't do something to shake up the table, we're going to be fucked.
Well, 2022 matters as well, because we're getting governors, you know, Senate seats are coming up to, primaries are happening now.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some of those swing states, like the Pennsylvanias, you know, Ohio was kind of a lost cause because it's always been a red state. But some of these swing states are having, you know, elections, and Republicans are, you know, kind of getting those votes.
What's the theory they're running off? The replacement theory.
Oh, yeah.
Pennsylvania, the guy just, he's running a front runner because of that whole replacement theory. Because
McCormick.
They putting all this bullshit in y'all head and y'all buying it and believing it. You got to start reading and researching. Stop listening to the popular news and listen to the news that's not so popular, to the people who are out in the world. They might teach you something more than what the popular news is teaching you.
Yeah.
Oof, short version, short episode. Thank you, Kendall. Come on, Lauren. Do it.
Are we saying our line?
We saying our line.
I'm talking about do it. Do what? No, I'm just kidding. Here at Laugh and Learn, we have a saying that we're not trying to get anybody to change your mind. We're simply trying to get you to use your mind, because
in order to use your mind, you have to have one. And I would just want to really enforce everyone here to use your mind and think for yourself. All that critical race theory they say they're trying to remove, think for yourself. Because I'm telling you, the life you save may be yours and your people.
Oh, you got a little Barry White bass in that last little bit.
I know that voice head.
Come on, Barry.
The he of the he, she, we said the she and the we was canceled. The he was showing up and taking over. Thank you guys for joining us here. Please download our episodes on iHeart under the Black Effect Network or Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to your podcast. And follow Lauren Hogan where?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Armani H or on YouTube at Lauren Hogan. We do have a new episode up. It's not on my page yet. It's on Flame's page. I'm going to upload mine when I get back to my computer. And you can follow Flame at Monroe Flame on Instagram, or Marcus Flame Monroe Parker on Facebook, or Flame Monroe on YouTube. And don't follow her Twitter because it's full of porn.
And don't listen to my voice right now, because he is not having no parts of the she or the we.
Barry is taking over you, okay?
Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Ken. The Flame Mess, we appreciate you guys. We couldn't do this without you. It's a short week. I'm right. That's a great light message. Do your homework before you go to the polls. Make sure that all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed. They are being particular. Yep. Almost back to the 50s where you had to tell, guess how many marbles was in the bowl. It won't be as vicious as that, but damn, they're going to get as close as they can.
Or so, even so, we've got Republicans running on the Democratic ticket.
Ooh, you better tell it, Lauren. They're running really up on the fictitious name. That's called a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Exactly. So
pay attention to your candidate and make sure that they values rational values not only this year, but 3, 4, 5 years ago, because they're changing up the game just to win. They're playing chess, not checkers. See you guys in next week. Thank you guys for joining us. Peace.
Don't miss an episode of Laugh and Learn. Listen and subscribe on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Laugh and Learn Podcast is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Our executive producer is Tiffany Haddish. Our theme music is by the one and only Chrissy Payne. Thank you, guys. This is Flame of Rose. Don't forget to laugh, listen, and learn.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.